Chapter 6. Lexi struggled to keep a lid on her anger as she stomped back across the street to her own bakery. The back door hung open, and she bent down to inspect the area around the lock, now covered with black fingerprint dust. She'd have to call someone to have it replaced right away.
How did it go? Did she confess?
Cassie stood in the doorway, eyeing Lexi and Davies excitedly.
No, she denied it. Claims she has an airtight alibi, Lexi said, rolling her eyes.
I'll be checking that out today, Davies said. In the meantime, you guys are free to clean all this up and get back to business as usual. We dusted the lock for fingerprints, but I doubt we'll get anything from it.
That's all you're going to do?
Lexi stared at Davies.
Well, since there was nothing stolen, there's not much for us to do.
Davies looked at the broken door, then out into the back parking lot.
We'll try to figure out who broke in. But unfortunately, in the grand scheme of things, this is going to be a very low priority.
But what about the ring? Lexi asked.
We'll keep that as evidence while I check out Carol Lee's alibi.
Davies looked at her watch.
I gotta run, but I'll try to swing by tomorrow with an update.
At least she's not quite as abrasive as she was the last time you had to deal with her, Cassie said as they watched Davies retreat to her car.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like she's going to be very helpful, Lexi added.
She'll come through once Carol Lee's alibi doesn't pan out, Cassie said.
Will it not pan out, though? Carol Lee seemed pretty confident.
But we know she did it.
The bells jingling on the front door interrupted Cassie, and Lexi's spirits picked up.
Sounds like we have a customer.
The girls rushed to the front room. Lexi felt a minor tinge of disappointment to see Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen come through the door instead of the throng of paying customers she was hoping for.
Did I just see the police leaving here?
Nance asked.
Yes.
Lexi told her about the break-in and their suspicions it was the bakery owner across the street.
What makes you think it was her?
Nance asked. Cassie and Lexi exchanged a sheepish glance.
We kind of heard her say that she needed to get in here.
Kind of?
Nance's brows creased as she eyed Lexi.
We took a little trip over there last night to peek in her dumpster, and heard Carol Lee and some man talking.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Nan's eyes sparkled.
I wish you'd called me to go with you.
So, did you tell Davies you overheard her?
Ida asked.
Well, that's the thing, Lexi sighed. We really can't tell her, because then we'd have to reveal we were sneaking around back there, and it could make us look suspicious. As it was, Carol Lee accused me of planting the ring to incriminate her.
Oh, the nerve. Now, why did she think you would do that?
Helen asked.
I wouldn't, Lexi answered. But I did find out something else interesting.
What?
The four ladies chorused. Her dumpster was loaded with boxes from the grocery store bakery.
I think she's just loading her cases up with purchased goods.
Helen gasped.
That scammer. I knew her stuff didn't have that home-baked taste of a small bakery.
But why would she do that? And why break in here?
Ruth asked.
Well, they went through the cookbooks and recipe files, so I assume they were after recipes.
Lexi shrugged. Great-grandma's scone recipe is still there, thankfully.
Wait a minute. If she's buying the pastries at the grocery and putting them in her case, then why would she need recipes?
Ida asked.
That's a good question, Helen said to Ida as she picked out an herbal tea from the self-serve station. There's something funny going on in Denmark.
Denmark?
Ruth looked at Helen.
What's that got to do with anything?
Just an expression, dear.
So, how about we try out some of those scones? Nan said, to distract Ruth and Helen from the arguments they were teetering on the brink of.
Oh, right. I baked some yesterday, and I'm trying a variation this afternoon.
Lexi stood and started toward the kitchen.
It would be great if you guys could try both and let me know which you prefer.
In the kitchen, Cassie had already cleaned up the recipes and was busy mixing up the dough for peanut butter cookies. Lexi inhaled the comforting, sweet, nutty aroma that hung in the air as she piled some scones on a platter for Nan's and the other ladies.
I figure I'd do some baking and keep the cases stocked with fresh cookies for when the customers come back, Cassie said.
Yeah, I'm sure sales will be back to normal as soon as the sewer project is done and people can actually get to the store, Lexi said. I'll watch the front room and you can bake. Then this afternoon we'll switch.
Sounds good.
Cassie returned to her mixing.
Oh, and I called someone to fix the lock.
Perfect. Thanks.
Lexi shot Cassie a grateful smile, then took the platter out front and placed it on the table in front of the ladies. She grabbed a coffee while the women each picked a scone and loaded it on their plate.
I made these scones to put in the bakery case, but I don't think too many customers will be coming in to buy them, Lexi said ruefully.
Oh, now, dear, I'm sure that's not true, Nan said. Once the big sale is over at the other bakery and the people get a taste of how stale her baked goods are, they'll be back here.
Especially after they read my article, Helen said.
Lexi pulled a chair up to the table and sat. Wrapping her palm around the warm mug of coffee, she reveled in the refreshingly bitter aroma steaming up from the mug and glanced across the street at the line of customers in the other bakery.
I sure hope so.
Lexi turned her back to the window and leaned her elbows on the table.
Let's talk about something else.
We are making great headway on our display for the bicentennial, Nan said, scooping a chocolate chip out of her scone with her fork. In fact, we've dug up the most fascinating piece of town history.
That's right. It's got everything one could want. Interesting characters, illegal doings, money, greed, robbery, and even a romance.
Ida ticked the items off on her fingers.
Really?
Lexi's brows shot up.
Do tell.
Ida leaned in, lowering her voice, even though no one was in the shop to overhear her.
Well, you see, back in 1948, the second regional bank here in town was robbed by Brook Ridge Falls' very own band of gangsters.
Brook Ridge Falls had gangsters?
Yep, Nans answered. And they had cool names, too, like Midas Mulcahy and the Bomb. Anyway, Ida continued, they made off with almost $1 million in bills and gold bars.
And there was a mysterious woman involved, too,
Ruth winked.
Almost like Bonnie and Clyde, except these guys got away with it, Helen added.
They were never heard from again.
Nan's green eyes danced mischievously over her cup of tea.
Probably off spending the money, Ida said. Don't you think that will make a great display for the historical commission table?
Lexi nodded. Sounds like fun.
Of course, we still have more research to do, but we don't want to spend all our time on that when we have the murder of the skull to solve, Nan said.
Lexi looked out the window where the sewer workers were busy doing their job.
How is that going?
Ruth looked at the police records going way back, but didn't find any missing persons who haven't been located, Nan said. So we don't have much to go on.
Maybe the police have found out more about it since they went down into the sewers.
Ruth looked at Lexi hopefully.
You could ask Jack.
Sure, I can ask him tonight,
Lexi said. But I think he said it's not a big priority, so I don't know if I'll be able to get any useful information.
All the more reason for us to look into it ourselves, Nan said. But we'd better hurry. If they're closing off all the entrances to the old sewer pipes with this new project, we may not have much time left until our access is cut off.